with a big stare like Stone Cold with a few beers. Play the game, I end the game, I'm champion, I'm Triple H. Undertaker, I'm your maker, bury the brother like Kane. Ooh, 1-3, hit the tombstone, hit the choke slam on face. Ooh, yeah, like a macho heel, turn like Hunter muscle. If you suffer like tomatoes, I'ma keep a couple muddles. Ooh, and you may call me HBK. When I'm tuning up the fame, you best be getting in my way. Ooh, yeah, I'm degenerate, I love it, yes, I love it. If you wait, down with that, then I got two words for you, suck it. Too sweet, too sweet.
Back, everyone. This is Wrestle Radio Australia. I'm your host, Todd Eastman. I know it has been a long time between drinks, but you know, 2020 things, I guess is what you call it. Look, I'll be honest. I took a break from myself for, it's been 6 months now. Because not long after we filmed the last episode, I think it was with Adam Brooks, I got let go from my job. COVID. And then of course wrestling stopped and the place I booked for, the place I helped write and all that stuff, that place folded as well. So it was a whole lot of stuff just piled up on top of me. And of course, instead of just talking about it, like I preached to everyone and basically talk about this show, that's all we talk about on this show is talking about problems. I didn't do that. I sort of went and just went into myself and sort of buried it away. And yeah, so it's only really been till now I'm sort of coming out of it. I've got a new job now and I'm really happy with that. And this is sort of my attempt. I don't know what I'm going to be doing in the actual wrestling business anymore, because like I said, the promotion that I worked for is now folded. So I'm at a crossroads where it comes to that, and not sure what the future holds for me as a behind the scenes and in-ring competitor. But the one thing I can do to maybe still help professional wrestling in Australia is the podcast. So, and also because I said when I first did this again that I was going to keep going on in memory of my good mate and the co-creator of this podcast, Josh Armour, and I felt like if I didn't keep doing this, I was also letting him down, which is something I really didn't want to do. So without further ado, we are back. And this is the premiere episode of what's to come. I'm not too sure how often I'm going to be on. I'm going to try to be on as much as I can. But like I said, it's really, and 2020 things, we don't know what's going on with anything at the moment. Stuff is starting to come up and there are people starting to plan stuff for January, which is awesome. So we can hopefully see some good stuff coming out in Australia. Of course, PWA is still doing started to do their thing again. Up here in Queensland, they've had a couple of promotions that have started doing shows or planning to do shows. You've got MCW who they changed ownership and the new owners have now said, I think it was January, I'm not sure. For their first show back. So that's all getting moving. I know PCW are looking at stuff. Riot City Wrestling have been doing their shows out of their academy, which is good because they can keep it all COVID safe and all of that sort of business. But I know they are looking at planning on finally, now that this is sort of eased off a little bit, of course, come out to do some COVID safe events. So it's all looking up, hopefully, in the world of professional wrestling. And I hope to be helping out along the line. And my guest this week, before I do that, I just want to note there was something that came up on Twitter this week about a certain spot that happened on a PWA show. And of course, the old school hardcore wrestling fans, of course, tagged Jim Cornette in it, as you do. Jim Cornette, as he does, went into his gimmick because it's what appeases his fans. And some of the PWA guys bit on that and went back and forward and back and forward with, which is fine. My only thing about it is, like, the spot in itself, and we'll show it up here, the spot in itself, personally, as a like an oldish school wrestling fan, I didn't enjoy, but it happened. It's one of those things, and it's probably a 30-second spot on a show that was great, and it was something that I enjoyed until just that bit, and then that's all it was. All I would say is just ignore it. Don't. The one thing I can't work out is, And I know it's Jim Cornette and all that. Don't bite into it. Just let it go. If you are happy and you are fine with what you did, don't worry about it. I can't see the point in stoking a fire to keep it going when it just doesn't serve anyone well, in my opinion. And that's just my opinion. And as much as I didn't enjoy that spot, I still think every one of those workers that were in that match are really good workers. Jess Troy is one of my favorite workers in Australia. One of, like, period. And also Paris de Silva, unbelievable worker. Mick Moretti was in the match. Matty Wahlberg was in the match. It was a massive PWA tag match, as you can see by the spot. Yeah, that's all I can say about it. It's just do you. And if you're happy with what was happening, don't worry about defending it, because if you're happy with it, the spot in itself defends your point. And I'm saying, and it's no, like, it's not a badge of honor to have someone, to annoy someone to the point of where they block you. And that's all I'm saying. So that's out of the way. And of course, this is just my opinion. And, you know, my opinion and $5 will get you a cup of coffee. My guest for this week, though, more than $5 worth, he is world beater Damian Slater. We're going to come on and have just a chat about how he's been doing his whole YouTube channel with World Beater Wrestling. Great stuff, teaching people drills and all of that, especially for people that aren't getting the full-on, the coaching to know some of the drills, especially if you're a guy that's looking to get into wrestling and you want to know what it takes cardio-wise and all that stuff. A lot of the drills on this YouTube channel go through that. And he also has Marcus Pitt on there, who goes through nutrition and training and all of that stuff. And if you look at Marcus Pitt, he doesn't exactly lack in the training department and fitness department. So everything he does there is good. He's also got a super web series coming up with Davis Storm and, he's going to get me now. Gavin McGavin, there we go. Ooh, see, I've been out of the game too long. And those three will be doing, I think it's 10 seminars over a couple of days. Hang on a second, I'll just pull it up. I'm getting all fancy now, so I bought a new... You might notice it's a little different with the camera. I bought a new camera. Super Web Series, it's 10 live seminars, one-on-one match feedback. It goes from January 11th to February the 17th, 2021. It's a $150 season pass. Limited spots, so register now. The way you register is at info@epwperth.com. Of course, we'll talk about more of that when it comes up to this interview with Damian Slater right here on Wrestle Radio Australia. Damian Slater, welcome to the show, mate. Just a little heads up for everyone watching. Internet doesn't seem to be the best at the moment, so it might be a bit glitchy, but we're going to try and battle through this. How are you, mate? Anyway.
I'm good, man. I'm living the dream. As I always say, no, I'm doing well. Things are pretty slow and quiet over here, but that's okay. I'm sure we'll find plenty to talk about.
Yeah, today. Well, you guys are just getting back into things over at EPW.
Yeah. Just. I mean, like, look, it's been we've been back for a long time. We are in a very fortunate place where we weren't really highly affected by the virus, so we only had, I guess, probably 6 to 8 weeks of no training, and even still we were allowed to do outdoor stuff, so we've kind of been back since June, and even since then we've still been running small shows, but this is the first time we've been back in our regular venue, large audience, and everything seeming pretty normal, except for the fact that we've got to separate rows, so like you pretty much have like extra leg room if you come to our shows, but otherwise seems like we're back on track now.
Yeah, I did an IPW show up here not too long ago, and it was just weird walking out, seeing everyone so spaced out around the building. Sort of like, just come in, but you just can't do it. Yeah. You see all the baby faces going to give kids high fives, you're like, no!
I think that was part of our disclaimer at the show we just did last weekend. There was a no high fives policy, so...
Yeah.
It's the trade-off you have to make, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, yeah. I don't know, how hasn't that changed?
True that.
I remember years ago back in Adelaide, just going, Slater can never be a babyface. He'll never be a heel. He's too babyface. He's like, look at him, he's too baby. But now the evolution, I'm like, he's a really good heel.
A lot of people said that, and I've gone to a lot of places in my time, and that was kind of the first impression they always got. Right up to the Cruiserweight Classic stuff, the first thing they said was, there's no way you're a heel. And for me, I've just naturally always felt more comfortable in that position. I started off as a heel when I was a young kid, making my way in wrestling, and I always felt way more comfortable doing it and wanted to do it from when I was just a fan. You know, I was always a fan of the bad guys. So, I guess that's a tough oxymoron, because everyone sees me one way and I see myself very much the other. So.
do you at all miss being the golden boy, the baby face, especially in Adelaide? Because Adelaide, you were loved.
I always like a challenge. So I don't like doing the same thing for too long. So I can't say that there's one thing I prefer over the other. I go through different periods in my life where I enjoy one thing and then I get bored of it and I want to mix it up and challenge myself. So as long as it's something that will keep me stimulated creatively, then, you know, I'm all for it. But I definitely, as much as I love being a heel and playing the villain and all of that, I definitely feel like that my move set and my movement and things like that tend to fare better as a babyface, which kind of sucks for me because, yeah, again, it's that kind of like oxymoron of douchey heel jerk character, but people still want to clap me for what I do. And that's always been the conundrum that I've had, if that's the right word for it.
Yeah.
But yeah, like any challenge is good for me. I'll do anything.
Is that why you sort of moved from the more singles matches into like the tag team with Marcus now? Because it's a change up and something different. It's sort of like almost a challenge to see if you can really succeed doing that now.
Yeah, that was the original idea with it. I'd always found myself as a singles guy, even though I always loved tag wrestling. Always loved it. And tag wrestling started taking off in, you know, NXT and even New Japan for probably the last 5-6 years specifically. And I was a huge fan of it. I loved the extra dynamic of having a partner there available. But no matter how much I would push to be in a tag team for most of my life, I'd always find myself back as a singles guy because they needed me for this or that or whatever. I guess in Australia, especially, tag teams were considered mid-card acts. They were kind of, if you had two guys who had nothing going on, they would put them together in a tag, and that was something to keep them fresh or just keep them doing something until they could go back to the singles division. So I never really found myself in that spot. And then, it got to the point, that would have been, I guess, 2017, I think. And I was just, I'd wrestled everyone on the roster in EPW, and I don't know, I just didn't feel like there was anything left for me. I wanted to do something different. So yeah, that's when I decided to form a tag team and had these big grandiose plans to kind of reform the division and make it like a main event scene in itself, mm-hmm. which hadn't really been done before. And in doing so, Marcus was obviously the only pick for me, as we are lifelong brother. I'm sure there's more words, but soulmates, that's the word, soulmate.
Yeah.
Partners in life, as he would probably say.
It's
best funny. Men. We are each other's best men.
There you go. It's got to be hard though when it's a guy like you and a guy like Marcus, and for other people to go, well, what tag team are we going to put up against these guys that look like a credible threat to these two guys who are internationally known, who are just like, Marcus is carved out of friggin' granite, and you're no bloody, like, not too shabby in that part yourself. How hard is it to sell to people? No, we can put these guys over because this is what we do, and make it look credible.
Yeah. Again, that's another problem we've had, and it's the reason why we haven't really tagged much for the last couple of years, for a few reasons. But that was part of it. It is very difficult to, I guess, have a credible threat. And we found the same with TMDK because, you know, I'm quite new to the team, to the crew, but for the longest time, TMDK was kind of like the elite of Australian wrestling. all very well-established guys with fantastic physiques and just absolute monsters. So very difficult to put anyone against them and have them be credible as well. Yeah, it's tough, man. I don't know the answer for that one. Like originally when Marcus and myself got together as a team, we had a bit of a feud with the Street Gang Hooligans, who were Logan Gray and Alex Kingston. Unfortunately, both have taken time off this year and haven't wrestled since last year. So the idea in getting us together as a team was, okay, who can we face? And this is no knock on the existing tag teams, but who can we face that has similar main event history and who have done a lot in the singles division similar to us? And when it came down to it, those were the only two. So we actually had the idea to put those two together and they ran with it. Originally, it was like a temporary thing. Like, let's put these two together, put them as a tag team, and at least they'll give us like this big kind of main event feel. And then we can start working through the existing tag teams. And then they took that and really ran with it. And then it went from this short-term thing to a very much a long-term permanent thing where those two are like, they want to be tag teams and they want to be a tag team and that's all they want to do. So it was a really cool thing that came out of that period in 2017.
Yeah, because you worked it through, so there was a big payoff at the end, which is perfect for it. Aside from it being just like, if you just go, oh, I just want a short-term, maybe a 2-3 month thing where we can do it. But then you see that little glint of potential. So hang on, we can stretch this out to 6-12 months and have a massive payoff at the end of the year, aside from just blowing it off early. I think that the temptation with a lot of places is they want that instant gratification. They don't want to go for that slow burn. And for you to sort of recognize that, or for the whole group to recognize that and sort of pay it off, really is a real, like, because I guess it says to the depth of your division where you can say, well, we can stretch this out because these guys will fill in the spots so we don't have to, we can keep these two together.
And it's not always easy because things come up. It's independent wrestling. I myself in the past have been part of booking teams in a lot of different places. And honestly, I could count on one hand the amount of long-term storylines that have happened the way they were planned. You get injuries, you get unavailabilities, you get the crowd responding differently to what you expected. You get all sorts of things that come into it. And I mean, our 1 to 2, I guess it was a 2-year feud rivalry that we had, although we always intended on it being a long-term thing, it did not happen anything like what we originally had. Whether that's a good or a bad thing, you know, who cares? But yeah, it's a hard thing to do in this day and age to do it well, the whole long-term creative.
Independent, definitely.
Absolutely. If you can pull that off, it's the best thing in the world. I'm a huge fan of long-term booking. I don't like the short-term, you know, car crash storylines and stuff. And I don't like the cheap payoffs. You know, I like things that make me think, keep me guessing. And at the end, you know, it's the same with fans of, you know, Marvel and the fans of mixed martial arts and fans of sport. You know, those long-term payoffs are just the best feeling in the world. So yeah. I'm all about them.
I know as being part of a booking team myself, I like dropping that little nugget in 1 month and then like 6 months later, pay it off and have the guy in a promo maybe say, do you remember when this happened? When this happened, I decided I was going to screw you. And have that pay, just to have the fans go, oh, that to me is it's what makes the job fun.
It's what keeps people coming back as well. You have to cater for everyone. And I think if you can book long-term stories that not only are easy to understand for people who are brand new to the product, because they're always there. There's always new fans in attendance. If you can make it easy to understand and follow along with, but you can give those little subtle bits of foreshadowing for the people that stick around, they're going to feel rewarded for being loyal. and you're going to make everyone happy. Other people want to digest more because they want to know more about this story or this character or this evolution. And I think that's the way to go. And if it doesn't end up the way you intended, or if things come in along the way, then you just, you know, you redirect and go wherever you want to go with it. But yeah, that's the beauty of pro wrestling, really.
Yeah. And then the funniest thing is you see fans talk about booking and all that, like they think it's just, oh, it's so easy. You put this guy here and you go there, guy. So you don't realize all the other stuff behind the scenes where maybe you say, yeah, I want this guy to do this. And the guy's like, I don't really like that. So even if it's like, well, I need you to do it. Yeah. You're like, I need, yeah, true.
Criticize, you know, like being a booker is not a great job, honestly. And it's part of the reason why I gave it up.
There's a reason why my beard's so gray.
Man, I feel it, honestly. And it's until you're in that situation, you don't quite understand how difficult it is to, you know, make chicken salad out of chicken shit. It's sometimes things are in the way and it is very, very hard to pull something good out. And unfortunately, as a booker, you are not rewarded when things go really well, but you're heavily criticized when people don't.
Yeah. It's a matter of like, I think I told, there was a new guy that came into the team and he was like, so what's it like? I said, well, basically you're constantly selling. You're selling your idea to the guys who have to then sell that idea to the crowd. And you've got to sell it to the point, you've got to sell it to the boys so they're enthused in it, so they'll actually do it to, like, with their heart, if you know what I mean. With be into it themselves. Because as much as you can be excited about this idea and say, this is going to be the best thing ever, if the guys aren't into it, then it shows when they're out there.
Absolutely. And I think that there's an important, you know, we're getting a lot into like booking creative philosophy here, but I think an important part of the puzzle is giving a little bit of freedom and flexibility to the talent so that they can take ownership, because that's when you get the most organic and the best performances out of other wrestlers.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of what's the saying? Like micromanaging a match. As far as I'm concerned, like I'll say, this is the finish I want because this is where we're going from there. The rest is yours.
Mm-hmm.
I love wrestling because I think it's an art. And those guys, I might give them the framework, but they're the painters. They're the artists. They're the guys that can go out there and put their mark on whatever it is, like from A to Z that we want. From A to Z, that's what a booker wants. From fucking B to Y, that's them. And that's the way I like, that's what I think is the great thing about wrestling, is watching these guys be artists. I hate when I see, I'll go to some shows and I'll see the matches and I can tell they've been told to do everything in that match, because you can see it when you've been around for a while. And that to me, because that, I don't feel like there's heart in that, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm.
Definitely, man. Yeah, I agree with all of that. That's spot on. And as a performer, as a talent, I love getting just that little bit of direction to kind of know where I need to end up and what the result of this big chunk of time on a show is. But having the creative control or the flexibility to do it the way you think your character would,
that's
super motivating personally for me. Because really no one knows your character like you do. The booking staff don't, the owner, promoter doesn't, the fans don't, you know, only you know what you want to direct your character to do and how do they come across.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing, if you said something like, I want you to finish with you running off, and you're like, well, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that. Then you'd be like, well, what would you do? And then just sort of like try and tailor it around that sort of thing. But that's
where as long as they're not the type who are like, you know, oh, I wouldn't lose, bro.
I don't job.
It depends. some people you have to micromanage. There's a select few that you've got to direct very closely. But yeah, no, for most.
No job. Count out. No job.
Yeah, big time.
outside of being able to do everything because of COVID, you sort of took it upon yourself to start doing, well, you've been doing it for a while, the YouTube series, your World Beater Wrestling YouTube series, but you also took it where you started doing workouts for guys that were stuck in their garage to do workouts. What sort of motivated you to do that?
Oh, I mean, like a lot of the initial idea for starting the YouTube series was to just be able to kind of like spread those training lessons online, because I just felt like there wasn't a lot of people doing it. And I know that in other industries, for example, with like grappling, with jiu-jitsu and things like that, there's a lot of people who put out tutorials and put out seminars and online lessons and stuff like that. You know, some are just freebies on YouTube. Other people charge extra for online coaching. And it wasn't something that had been really exploited, I'd seen in pro wrestling. So I kind of had this idea of putting it out there. And part of that was, although not much had been done overall, there were a few people putting out, like, you know, little wrestling tutorials, how to do moves, things like that. But no one had covered the conditioning side and how to really get in shape. So that was a big part of it. I wanted to show people how to get into pro wrestling shape and show people who are interested in just becoming a wrestler, how they can prepare themselves for, you know, a tryout or for a beginner's class. And during COVID, when gyms are closed, a lot of people didn't have weights and resistance training equipment and stuff like that. It was like, just a lot of people had no idea. And a lot of our trainees were struggling with ideas. So I just thought, you know, why don't I focus on this for a while? I can't physically touch anyone legally, so I can't really show wrestling stuff. You know, why not do the more cardio strength and conditioning side of things? So yeah, it plays a part in the channel, in what I do. And I think it gave people a little bit of motivation to just stay on top of their health. When it is, you know, I know at home, when all you can do is work out in your garage, it's very difficult. And I struggled as much as anyone with the channel.
Yep, sorry. Again, internet issue.
I'm getting glitched out.
Yeah, it's cool. I know for a fact, I've had people that message me and going, what are tryouts like? How do I prepare myself for tryouts? And I've just gone, go over to Slater's YouTube page, because he literally has, this is what a tryout's like. This is the cardio you have to have for a tryout. I don't think people still don't realize the amount of cardio, and it's a different type of cardio than what most other sports are for wrestling, because different. It is different.
That's it, man. Yeah. And even my garage workouts and nothing on what actual pro wrestling is. So the one thing I always recommend for people who are interested is just give it a go. Like, yes, you can try to prepare, but you will never be fully prepared for pro wrestling. So just get in there, give it a go. And the best way to get into shape is honestly just to do more of it. That's the best thing I could advise for anyone.
And then you also had Pitt on there with the whole nutrition and all of that sort of side of it, which I think is something that until not long ago was very highly overlooked. It was always sort of like, go to a show and then go to Macca's afterwards.
Yeah, very much so. Or Billy's Cafe in Adelaide, for sure, man. If I was in Adelaide, I would still be going to Billy's Cafe.
Yeah. Like,
you could shove your health, man, honestly. Yeah. a couple of Billy's pies. Oh, I miss them. It's the worst part of living in Perth, just the baked goods.
I miss the pie, the chips and gravy.
Yes. Oh, pork schnitzel. Amazing. Amazing. But anyway, back on
track. Back on that. As for nutrition.
Like Marcus and myself, you know, we've been best mates for the longest time, even when we were living in different states, just through wrestling travels and stuff like that. And we've both always had such a keen eye on just things health, diet, nutrition, training related. Both of us have done a bit of study in that aspect, you know, at university and stuff. And we've done our own research for many, many years, because, you know, we came up in the land of the giants era, And for us to make it in wrestling, you had to be jacked and tanned and all the rest. So that's something we were always interested in. Now it's, I guess, less of a focus, less of a priority. But I feel like we're starting to... There were a few years there where people just, you know, people weren't really in shape and no one was really taking it seriously. And like, especially in Australia, it was... Things started dropping off a bit. You had this whole new generation of kids come in where they didn't idolize The Rock and all these, you know, juice heads, I guess you would say. all of these jacked and tan dudes. And there were just a lot of kids coming in just didn't have a lot of knowledge. So Marcus started up his own company, Progress 365, just online coaching for diets, diet plans, and training routines. And man, he's been like thriving. And as much as I know about that side of things, he takes it to another level. I think he runs it himself. I think he's got about 30 clients and they're all professional wrestlers around the world, some as far as NXT. And the results are incredible. We had the EPW end of year awards last night, and there were so many people who I haven't seen in a long time, wrestlers, trainees, things like that. And like the weight loss and the change in physique, and every single one of them was like, oh yeah, I've been working with Marcus. Oh yeah, Marcus did my diet plan. You know, all these guys who for the longest time had no knowledge or any perception of how to stay in shape, and they're all looking phenomenal. So, you know, you've got a whole roster of world beaters, for lack of a better word, at the moment, thanks to his.
Sorry, and again. Australian internet, folks.
That's it, man.
Yeah. Get better. It's true. As much as like, I don't want to say like fat shaming or anything like that, but like wrestling is a very aesthetic driven sport. And if you want to put someone on a poster, you sort of want to put someone on a poster that looks like they're an athlete. Mm-hmm. Looks like they can kick some ass, really.
Yeah.
And sort of like that's, I don't want to, like, not unfortunately, but that's just what it is. Like, mm-hmm. I know I'll never be able to. Yeah,
like it doesn't mean you have to be a bodybuilder by any stretch. I mean, no. I'm not even that. You know, I'm. Yes, there was a time when I was training very much bodybuilding, like lift heavy, all that stuff. But no, the last few years I haven't really at all. I've been very different and focused a lot more on performance and the athletic side. But I feel like, not just from an aesthetic standpoint, but you know, you want to be able to go. You want to be able to have 30, 60 minute matches if you have to. So there's no excuse for not being in shape. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't care how good your promos are and this and that. Like, you got to at least be able to wrestle. And I mean, you go back and watch Dusty Rhodes, you know, for whatever you might say about his physique, like Dusty could go and he could go for a long time. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's many different sides to the training game and to the physique game, but I do feel like it's just as important as ever. And, yeah.
Well, even though you look at,
you want to make something of it, you got to tick all the boxes.
Yeah, you look at Kevin Owens, and he doesn't look like he's in shape, but that dude could wrestle for an hour easily.
Absolutely, and look how agile he is as well. So
yeah,
you can't use the Kevin Owens excuse. No, there's a whole generation.
I tried. I so tried. There's
a whole generation of tank top wearing, shorts and kick pads wearing rookies, but man, if you can't go like Kevin Owens, then you're backing a losing horse on that one.
You mentioned BJJ before. I think it was last weekend, wasn't it? You just, was that your first tournament you competed in?
Third, but I haven't, but it's been over 10 years since the last time I competed. So
oh wow!
I don't really count the first two. I had no idea what I was doing. It was too early on. But yeah, no, jiu-jitsu is something I've always enjoyed. I've always enjoyed it. Any type of grappling, from like, you know, freestyle wrestling to catch wrestling, I've been interested in. And Brazilian jiu-jitsu is part of that as well. And it's something that, unfortunately, I could never commit enough time to, because pro wrestling was my number one for the longest time. So I would, you know, I'd spend a few weeks training and then I might get like a niggling injury or I might have a big match coming up, and suddenly I kind of stop training in grappling and focus more on this match. Or, you know, I took years off at a time. And then a couple of years ago, I started getting back into it a little bit. But at the same time, this is when my wrestling career started. Was real busy, very, very busy. And between interstate travel and wanting to look as amazing as possible on the aesthetic side of things and the wrestling training, I just never really had time. So I would, you know, I'd train once just to get a few ideas of some techniques and how to make my wrestling a bit more legitimate, and to kind of spark my creativity, but never enough to fully comprehend the strategy side of the sport and how to actually form a game plan and actually play the sport well. And it's only when COVID struck that I think my ambitions for wrestling changed a little bit. There were a few events that happened in my career that turned me a little bit off putting all my eggs in one basket, as I had done for so long. And when COVID struck, I just kind of had this feeling like, I want to actually do this properly and I want to learn and I want to progress and I want to give jiu-jitsu a proper go. So when we came back and gyms reopened, I restructured everything. I restructured my weight training, my strength and conditioning, my diet, the amount of effort and time I put into pro wrestling, which unfortunately didn't minimize because can't do everything, I've found. And I started training 4 days a week, jiu-jitsu, 4 to 5 days a week. And not because I wanted to compete or anything. I just wanted to learn. And I felt like the more I did it, the quicker I started learning. And it's something I tell all the pro wrestling trainees when they ask, oh, how can I get better? You know, I'm plateauing. I'm not getting any better. What's going on? And I always say, you just got to train more. You just got to be more consistent and just keep getting those reps in. And I finally started to apply that to my own life and saw the results. And yeah, last week I kind of last minute jumped into a tournament just for a bit of experience. And yeah, man, that was an absolute killer of a learning experience. Very tough, extremely difficult. But it's something I do want to continue. And I have sights set on more competing in the future. And I'm just enjoying having something different and new that I can apply myself to.
Yeah,
because I've been doing this one thing for so long and you feel that burnout from time to time. Yep. So I think it's good to have other things in your life that you can fall back on when you need to.
You didn't try calling a spot just in case?
I tried. They didn't understand though.
Damn it. just looking in, I'm over in five, mate, so make it good.
I thought if I just start throwing like just a few worked punches, like it might confuse them for long enough that I could, you know, slap on a cheeky submission and who knows.
I always said that about like Conor when he had that fight with Mayweather. Why didn't he just fake a leg kick? Why would you fake a leg kick? Because surely he, like Mayweather would have shit himself, surely. He's going into business. Drop his hands, bang, he's gone.
Stop and slap.
You've got the Super Web Series coming up. So the second one. Mm-hmm. You did one last year, again with Gavin McGavin, David Storm, and yourself. Tell the people about that. Is this for? I guess it's mainly for people that are already sort of working in the business.
Yeah, spot on. So it's an online series that we developed during the quarantine, just to. We wanted to do a physical training camp, which we had already done one in the past, which was where we had wrestlers all around Australia coming over. They spent a week training with us. And at the end, there was a showcase event as part of that. And, you know, we enjoyed it so much. And the people we trained with seemed to really love that. So we said, let's keep this as like a, you know, twice a year thing. And unfortunately, COVID ruined that for us. So, you know, you roll with the punches and you adapt. And we developed our own online training program, which was based on what we were doing at the time with EPW. You know, many, many schools around the world and around Australia were running their own online training. We were no different. Mm-hmm. And the three of us, yeah, we put it together for everyone. So open for the world. And Yeah, we had a very good response. We had wrestlers from all around Australia, New Zealand, Southeast Asia, a really, really dedicated, engaging crew who really applied themselves. And yeah, for a month, we delivered 10 seminars, live, online, interactive, very much our own themes and topics, but we also tailored it to the individual. So we have a very interpersonal touch with these things. Both Gavin McGavin and myself are teachers in our real world. So we do apply a lot of the lessons as a teacher to really get the most out of the students. And yeah, there were like, you know, we had home workouts that we put up for people. We had promo days. There was private one-on-one match feedback where they could send us a match of theirs and we would give them private coaching. You know, all this stuff was part of the package and yeah, had such a good response that we've just formed the second one, which starts on January 11th and goes for 4 weeks. And yeah, like you said, it is just for current pro wrestlers. However, trainees are included. Anyone who has at least started training in pro wrestling, any less than that, to be honest, it probably just won't be worth your time because you kind of need to have a little bit of a more advanced knowledge of pro wrestling and psychology to really get the most out of it. So yeah, anyone who's a aspiring professional wrestler currently training or has been wrestling for as you know as long as you have, it would definitely be suitable for you. All the information's on my Facebook if you look up Damien Slater, or you can email info@epwperth.com to register your interest.
Info at epwperth.com. It's $150, and that for a month's worth of seminars is unbelievable. I know some seminars, I think there was one up here just this past weekend with Chavo Guerrero, and that was like, I think that was $150 just for that 4-hour seminar. So $150 for a month's worth of sort of training, that's unbelievable. And for the stuff you'll get out of guys like yourself and Gavin and David Storm, I don't know, I don't think anyone really has to tell you how good David Storm is. So yeah, unbelievable for people that want to progress in professional wrestling, especially now, because we're not quite sure, you don't know, there could be a freaking outbreak next month and everyone's shut down again. So to have that knowledge of stuff that you can still do at home to keep going, that just puts you ahead for when everything comes back. And I remember when things sort of started shutting down, I was like, well, this is going to be a test to see what people or which people really want it. Because when we come out the other side, they're still going to be in good shape. They're still going to be ready to go. They're not going to need 2.5-3 months to get themselves back into that shape, if you know what I mean.
For sure, man. And there's such a big, we have such a big emphasis on the psychological side of things with these. Obviously, they're all theory-based seminars, so they focus like on really going in-depth with pro wrestling. And a lot of it is not just looking at the theories, but also kind of giving practical tips for pro wrestlers and how to make themselves better and how to apply themselves. And traditionally, the only way to do that was to pick people's brains. And you would, you know, you would train at the one school, you would learn from the one or two or three coaches, and that was kind of it, unless you decided to travel overseas. So we're bringing over well over 30, 40 years of experience. You know, all three of us have traveled worldwide and have been trained by some of the absolute best pro wrestlers and pro wrestling trainers of the current generation. And we bring those lessons to these lessons. We bring those and transfer them on. So, I think it's an important thing. Learn as much as you can, not only in ring, but also learn about the psychology and the theory behind it. And learn from as many people as you can, because then you can kind of pick and choose which lessons you resonate with the most.
And I'll be honest with you, at the moment, the biggest problem I have with like WWE and AEW is psychology in the matches. Some of them, I just don't see where they were going with it. I don't understand what they were thinking when they're putting them together. When you see a match like, I think it was FTR and Young Bucks, when it was like all of the new style sort of wrestling with the psychology of the FTR bring, I'm like, why can't everything just be like that? If everything was like that, I would have no problems with any of these shows. Because to me, it was, they worked everything in and they told a story through it. And it's just, I think it's almost a lost art.
Mm. I mean, you know, pro wrestling is here to make us feel something. That's what I truly believe in. Mm. And every influential moment for me as a fan were moments when I really felt some kind of emotion, some kind of passion. And I could still, you know, I could tell you, if you said, what were the moments in time that made you proud to be a pro wrestler or a pro wrestling fan? There were always moments when there was something that was just had such a good payoff and such a good build. And it was just done in such a way that you really emotionally invested and you needed to see the outcome, or you wanted so-and-so to do this or so-and-so to do that, or this person to win. And when we can suspend disbelief by that, knowing what we already know, even as wrestlers, when we can kind of put that to the side and still feel like, yes, this is amazing. That's real pro wrestling. You know, that's yeah. the stuff that I really love. So, and it's not easy. It's not easy. That is the extra 1% that takes a wrestler from good to great.
Yeah. And they're like, I remember saying that to, I think, some of the guys. I've got, look, I know it's a work. You know it's a work. The crowd know it's a work. The biggest thing you have to do is have them forget that for mm-hmm. your 10, 15, 20, 20, 30 minutes you're out there. If you can do that, then you're a professional wrestler.
Mm-hmm. Sure, man. Definitely. And in Australia, like, we always say it's the most skeptical nation, you know, like Aussies love tearing people down, right? Like we love seeing holes in things and, you know, give them a little bit of crap. So, it's even more difficult for us, but if you can get through that and make believers out of anyone, then you know you're on a winner. You're on the right
track. Yeah, my favorite thing that I hear from a fan is like, oh yeah, I know it's all fake, but those two really hate each other, don't they? Like, oh yeah, backstage can't even get them any near each other.
Yeah, big time.
Anyway, mate, thank you so much for coming on. For people that are listening to this on podcast form, this will be the end of the podcast, because it's not real point having a watch along when you can't watch. Damien, if you want to give out your socials and all of that sort of jazz so people can get a hold of you. And if you are listening to the podcast, info@epwperth.com. That is where you go to get all the information about this seminar, and it is well worth your time and money.
Absolutely. Yeah. Check it out, man. If anyone is interested in joining the next Super Web Series, we still have some positions available. We only just announced it, but we do limit it just so you get the best out of them. We don't want to have super, super packed rooms where we can't give individual attention. So get on that as soon as you can. For myself, if you, you know, you can find me at Damien Slater anywhere, Facebook, Twitter, DSlats on Instagram. Unfortunately, I still have my handle taken by some random with 3 followers and probably an egg for a profile avatar. worldbeaterwrestling.com, that's my weekly YouTube series. I drop videos every Thursday for aspiring and current pro wrestlers with tutorials, conditioning workouts, just general advice for you. And I do have some future plans that I'm keeping a little bit under wraps, but I will be taking that YouTube page bigger and better and badder than ever. I'm going to turn it into a bit of an online coaching platform in the not too near future. So check it out. Give us a subscribe if you may.
Once again, big thanks to my guest, Damien Slater. Remember, you can catch him on all the socials, Damien Slater. He's all there, easy to find. Also, for the Super Web Series, info@epwperth.com is the way to get your information about that. Once again, 10 seminars, goes for a month, $150. You will not find better value for more information in the world of professional wrestling, Australia, worldwide, I don't care. These three guys know so much about the professional wrestling business, and they are an absolute wealth of knowledge, and you want to get around them if you are aspiring to be a professional wrestler. If you haven't already, though, make sure you subscribe to WRA. It's free. You can do it on iTunes. I haven't done this for a while. You can do it on iTunes, YouTube, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere you get your podcast from. If you do stop by iTunes or Apple Podcasts, I think it's called, give us a 5-star. It helps us get inside more ears and share the show. Spread the word, because we are back. Also, if you're on Facebook, go and like us over at Wrestle Radio Australia, or on Twitter at Wrestle Radio AU, or me personally at Beast Eastman. If you like people that pick apart AEW and NXT shows, I'm probably the guy you want to follow, because I'll pick them apart. If you do want to support the local industry, subscribe to one of the streaming services or support a wrestler themselves, because you know you can go to wrestlermerch.com and cop some stuff. A lot of guys now have got on board Wrestler Merch. It is the place to go to if you want to get t-shirts, stuff like that from Australian professional wrestling. Wrestlermerch.com is the place to be, and go and check it out and support Australian wrestling as much as you can. I've got some shirts up on Redbubble. Everything for that is bought with WRA stuff, go to Beyond Blue and Gotcha for Life, to charities that we do support here, all about mental health and mental health advocacy. Wow. And getting out there and talking to people. I know I didn't do it, and I really should have. And it's one of the things, again, I'm kicking myself over, which is just great to do, by the way. But yeah, it's the way to go. Also, new intro music from Ursa 13, Get Around Him on Spotify. Great Australian artist from up here in Queensland. I really do like his work. He's a really nice guy too. So thank you to him for the new theme music. And that will be it for this week on Wrestle Radio Australia. Now, going forward, I'm going to be interviewing guys, and it's mostly guys that I want to talk to and guys that I want to learn from, because I've been doing this for, 6-7 years now. And I'm really, it's great to interview the newer guys that are coming through, and I really do want to support the newer guys coming through, but I want to learn something when I do interview those guys. So, that's what I'll be doing going forward. And hopefully you will be joining me on this journey. And I really hate it when people say that on reality shows, but there you go. I hope you'll be joining with me on this and going forward. And thank you for putting up with me being very, very rusty on this first episode, and for the web issues we had with our talk with Damian Slater. He is, of course, in Perth. I am in Brisbane, and this is the Australian internet. So you do what you do with what you've got. Until next time, I'm Todd Eastman, and we'll see you around the traps. Around the traps is terrible. It's been busy, 23, got me feeling way too sweet. Too sweet, too sweet, yeah. Too sweet, put your fangs up. Too sweet, pour another cup. It's been busy, 23.